Good morning, everybody. Parshas Chayei Sara. So we know there are really two major themes in Parshas Chayei Sara. One is Avraham Avinu purchasing a burial plot for Sara, which really was more than that. He was securing a foothold in Eretz Yisrael, a permanent foothold in Eretz Yisrael, buying the land, as opposed to Ephron wanted originally to gift it to him. But he outsmarted him, and he bought it. And so that's one theme. The other theme is Avraham Avinu sending Eliezer to find a shidduch for Yitzchak. So you have one theme is a national theme, securing a foothold in Eretz Yisrael. The other theme is a personal theme of a shidduch. But if you think about it, the national theme is really a personal. It was done through a personal deed. I mean, there's nothing more personal than buying a burial plot for one's spouse. And the personal theme of a shidduch is also a national theme. It's securing the shelshalet of Klal Yisrael. Yitzchak was the first Jew, right? Avram was the firstborn Jew. Firstborn Jew. Yitzchak was the Eshte Geborin, right? Avram is the Eshte Geborin. He was a ger. And then, so this is securing the Shelshelis of Klal Yisrael. So it's interesting, you see a blending together of a national identity, a national theme, and a personal theme coming together. I was going to call your house. I didn't see your husband here.
He's coming.
Okay. So I always mention, you know, the beginning of the parsha says that Sarah was Esrim Mea Shana V'Esrim Shana V'Sheva Shani. The Torah could have said 127. So Rashi brings the Chazal that she was as, you know, free of sin at 20 as she was at 100, as she was at 20, and she was as beautiful at 20 as she was at 7. Which is a very hard thing to understand. Before Shem asked on that, what isn't a 20-year-old woman more beautiful? You would consider beauty at age of 20 than at the age of 7. So what do you mean she was as beautiful at 20 as she was at 7? So I always like to say over from the Torah Tamima. Torah Tamima wrote another sefer called the Tosefes Brocha. And he asks this question. And he says, what I think to be a beautiful answer, that at 20, you know, every woman can make herself beautiful. A ribbon in her hair, makeup, whatever. But a 7-year-old child, there's no makeup, there's no, either you're beautiful or you're not beautiful at 7. So that's what Chazal means. That her beauty was, her radiant beauty was so obvious without any embellishments necessary, like a 7-year-old, right? Okay. Let's see, number one is from the Limudei Nissen, Rav Nissen Alpert. And here he says something interesting. Vayu Chayei Sara. So he quotes a medrash in the Bereishis Rabbah, Rabbi Akiva Doresh, a famous, it's a Gemara actually also. Rabbi Akiva Doresh, Ubikesh Am Lenamne. When Rabbi Akiva was giving a shir, the people wanted to sleep. You know, what goes around comes around. You know, as soon as the rabbi gets up to speak, people fall asleep. You know, I remember once in the head of the Wiesenthal Center, Rabbi Marvin Heyer, has a great sense of humor. He was once a rabbi in Vancouver, and there was a flood in Vancouver, a terrible flood and hurricane. And people were homeless. So they were calling around to the churches and synagogues to take people in. Like, how many people can you... So he got a call, and they asked him, how many people can your synagogue sleep? He says, well, he says, the main sanctuary sleeps 350 people on Saturday morning. Right? So bring them all in, right? So here, this is what happened. This is about going back to Rabbi Akiva yet. Rabbi Akiva wanted to speak, and people was ready to speak, and people were tired. So he said something to wake them up. What was the What was the thing he said to them? He told them in Agada to wake them up. Amar, mipnei ma zachsa Esther limloch al kuf chof zayin medinos? Why was Esther Zocha privileged to rule over 127 provinces? Mipnei shehaisa bas bito shel Sara, because she was the descendant, the granddaughter of Sara, shehaisa chof chaf kuf chaf zayin shanim, who lived 127 years. So what is that? That's a very strange, you know, how do you deal with that? So here's what he says. Venir Levar, let me explain this. Sarah had a lot of granddaughters, right? All of a sudden, Esther was a ruler around in 27 provinces because of Sarah's 127 years. Where's the connection here between in this marriage? What's the common thread? So he's looking for a certain common thread. So he says very nicely. Venir Levar al pi maimram. I want to explain this based on the fact that Sarai's name was turned to Sara. Sara means a princess, a leader. Sarara is like Sar, right? A leader. Sara is a leader with authority, position of authority. Shehi Sara al kol ha'olam. That she really ruled. She was the woman that ruled the entire world together with Avram. Umahu pirish hadvarim. How do we explain shahayita la srara al kol olam? How do you say that Sara had srara over the whole world? Chazal say, well, look, Avimelech not la bal korchav. She was taken by force to Avimelech's palace. Vegam achuzat kever lo hayita. She didn't even have a burial place. So this is a srara al kol olam. What does that mean? Vishilem Avram Avinu Bekesef Malay had to pay what amounts really to about $1 million in our currency. Elekachu biur advar. But let me explain. Shesara imenu bechol matzavim uvechol makom shahayeto. In every moment of her life, in every crisis that she faced, lo nishtanta. She didn't change. There was a total consistency and constancy and control of her. She was in control of herself. V'hayita sara bedata, in her mind, in her attitude, in her heart and mind, she was in control. U'behalichat daracheha, and in the ways she carried herself. Mibli liyota mushpat mehamediniyut o me'anshei hamedina. She was never influenced by the external society, the negative society around her. She was in charge. Sara was Sara. Hein kishahayeta beveita shel Avram Avinu, when she was in the house of Avram Avinu. Vehein kishalokcha mi beit paro o Avimelech. Beveit paro o beveit Avimelech. Whether she was in Paro's house, she was in Avimelech's house, she was still in charge of herself. She never lost her dignity. She never lost her commitment and her constancy. Lo avda bitchona ve'emunata. She never lost her bitachon, her faith and her trust in Hashem. Hein kishahayeta akara. All the years that she was barren, right here, there's a promise that she's going to be the mother of a great nation. She was barren. Ve'hein kishahayeta im haben simcha. Or whether when she was, you know, Ema Bonim Smecha, when she was happy with her child. Hayita Sara, she was Sara. She was Sara in the ups of her life, and she was Sara in the downs of her life. Zewa Pirisha Hayita La Srara. That's what it means that she had Srara. She had authority and leadership of Kol Olam over on top of the world. She was in charge. The world wasn't in charge of her. She was in charge of the world. Shelo Haya La Olam Shlitot. Nothing influenced her, and she never veered off course. And now that's Esther. What do we see with Esther? Her life was also tremendous ups and downs and near tragedies. She was taken from the house of Mordechai. La'armono shel Achashverosh, the palace of Achashverosh in Russia. Amatzav nishtana shinui gamor, complete 360 degree turn. Aval Esther nishara Esther, but Esther remained Esther. Kiveveita shel Mordechai v'ruach hakodesh imah. She had maintained her ruach hakodesh, her Holy Spirit, ubeze lochal al kuf chav zayin medinot, shekuf chav zayin medinot lo malchu v'lo hishpiu ala. 127 provinces that she ruled over, right? That didn't rule over her, they didn't change her, she was in charge. V'sara imenu kavash haderech l'Esther. Sara imenu paved the way, so to speak, as we say in English. Kavash haderech, she paved the way for Esther. V'hotziyah min hakoach el hapoel. The potential of Esther became a reality through the spiritual energy of Sara. Ha'oz v'hagvura shelo lihitrashem mishinu matzavim. That she also didn't change. Elisha erbe monata etana kevatchila. She was as strong at the beginning, at the end as she was at the beginning of the Purim story. Va'oz ze nase min neshama haklalit shel Am Yisrael. And this strength was derived from the general soul of the Jewish people. Ad shehishtamsha Esther bekoach ze. It was passed down to Esther. Va'ayuta soreret al kol ha'olam. And she was also a sara, so to speak. V'lo lihitpa'el me'ha'olam v'hu nachon. So this is the nexus between this medrash, and he woke, and this is how he woke. He woke everybody up, Rabbi Akiva, by telling them this, and it really was something to wake them up with, because he was challenging them that we too have to have this kind of control, self-control over ourselves, right? Okay, number two, we have from, and three are from the Oznayim LaTorah, and which we've started to use a few weeks ago. And this is Rav Sarotskin, who was the Lutzke Rav in Lithuania, right? And he's very nice stuff here. V'yavo Avram lispod l'sara. So Avram is now coming to give a hesped for Sara Imenu. Sara dies, and he is going to eulogize her. So the Medrash asks, Mehechad ba, where did he come from? Mikfurato shel Terach. He came from the funeral of his father, Terach. So he asks right away a question. What do you mean he came from the funeral of Terach? V'halo kfurato shel Terach kadma l'mitata shel Sara beit shanim. Terach died 2 years before Sara died. So what does he mean? He's coming from the funeral of his father to bury Sara. El bo mehar amoria. So the rabbis say, it's a medrash. The rabbis say in our oral tradition, he came from Har Amoria. He came from Mount Moriah, right? Avo mehar amoria, shav Avram leBer Sheva. What do you mean? From Har Amoria, he went to Be'er Sheva. Im kein bo miBe'er Sheva. He really came from Be'er Sheva. So, v'chein pirish Rashi. And kfar higish b'zeh Ramban. The Ramban already is bothered by this. There's a very lengthy comment of the Ramban of Nachmanides on this section of the Parsha. So what does it mean? Avram came to bury Sara. He came from the funeral of Terach 2 years earlier. He came from Har Moriah, but he didn't. He went to Be'er Sheva first. What's going on here? So the Ramban says that Voloshin Vayavo, Pirusho Po, it means Shenit Orer Avraham Lehesped Hazeh. That he came doesn't mean he physically came. Vayavo, that he came to, realized, he was inspired by these experiences. He came to the funeral with these ideas in mind. The idea of Terach's funeral and the idea of Har HaMoriah, what happened on Har HaMoriah, right? What does he mean? Now we can explain what Chazal is saying. What does it mean he came from the funeral of Terach 2 years earlier? Shebo lahaspid nitorer. He was inspired lahaspid et Sara mikfurato shel Terach umihar amoriah yachda. These two moments in his life, or in Sara's life, I should say, is what inspired his eulogy of his wife. This is what he spoke about. What does it mean? These things will point out the greatness of Sara. Haynu, let me explain. Shehit bonein b'shnei dvarim ela. Think about these two moments, historical moments. Kishabo laharich behespedo shel Sara. When he came now to speak about, to eulogize his wife. Aleph, number one. Zachar et motza'a ve'et chinucha. he reminded himself about Sarah's upbringing, where she came from, and what her education was. Mibeit Terach, she also was raised in the house of Terach. Shahari Haran mate al pi Terach Aviv, right? Terach was, right, was her grandfather also. Shahaita merkaz la'avodat elilim. Terach's house, Terach's environment was the centerpiece of the idol worship of the time. Shahari Terach hayoseh u'mocher elilim. He was the maker and the seller of the idol business. U'bevadai haya mesaper b'shvacham l'koni. And he would talk about it, talk up the business. U'meisit u'meidiach la'avdam. And he would inspire people to be idol worshippers. Ulamarot hachinuch haparu hazeh. In spite of this awful upbringing of Sarah, he kirat bora, she recognized the Ribbono Shel Olam. Umibeit haasurim shel berot ve'avod hazarah yotzeso lahamlich et mi she'amar v'haya olam ha'boro. So from coming from such a background, coming from Terach, coming from such a milieu, she became, you know, not really in spite of where she came from, but because of where she came from. She saw the negative nature and the lack of utility of worshiping idols in Terach's lifestyle, and she made a 360-degree turnaround. V'sara bat Terach migayeret et anashim. She brought people, she converted women. That's, he came from the funeral of Terach to eulogize his wife. That's what it means. Secondly, l'umat hachinuch shekibla Sarah mibeit Terach, as opposed to the education she got in the house of Terach, nistakel Avraham b'shat hespeda b'chinuch, he looked at the time of her eulogy at another chinuch, another educational system. Asher natna Sarah livna yichida, how she raised Yitzchak. V'asher et piryo ra'a kol ha'olam kulo b'shat ha'akeda, how the son went to the Akedah, this Yitzchak didn't flinch. Rav Hishtomein, Avram looked and was amazed. Od lo ra'a olam tzair ben lamed zayin. Here's a 37-year-old young man. Malei koach olamim. The whole world is ahead of him. Poshet es tzvaro litvach. And he stuck out his neck to be shechted. Kidei la'asot ratzon kono. In order to do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo ra ben mitchanein el aviv. What does he say here?
Kafteni
yafe yafe shema yizdazeh gufe mipachta shel sakin v'shema tivsal ashchita. Because he wasn't afraid to accept what was happening. Mehechan ba Avram lesbeda shel Sarah. Where did Avram come from? What was his inspiration to eulogize Sarah? Mehara Moria, the place of the Akedah. Who nit orer lehaspeda mehamachazeh hadol shel mesiris nefesh al kedushas Hashem. He had the picture in front of him of his son who was ready to sacrifice himself to die al kiddush Hashem, the son that Sarah raised. Shera mibna Yitzchak bahara Moria v'tala hadavar b'sara u'bichinucha. And he credited the greatness of his son Yitzchak, who was prepared to do this, he credited his wife Sarah. And he writes here, Shahara Yadua, right? And the women here certainly know it, the men have to admit to it. Shahara Yadua, Shekimat Kol Ha'anashim Hagdolim, Hayu Lehem Imahot Gdolot. Right? Every great person had a great mother. Right? Or as somebody once said, you know, behind every great man is a surprised woman, right? Okay. Something like that. But, you know, I don't know if I ever told you this, there's a joke about this, that a guy was, the mayor, you know, we just had elections yesterday, so the mayor was walking with his wife in the street, and the mayor's walking down the street, you know, and entourage, pictures are being taken, you know, paparazzi, right? And all of a sudden they walk by, there's a work area there, you know, with a thing, and there's guys with metal helmets in a ditch, and they come out, and one guy comes out and sees her, Oh, he screams out to her, you know, hello, how are you? And she says, oh, how are you? And they go on the side, they're talking for about 15 minutes, and the mayor's standing impatiently. And finally she comes back and says, who was that? She says, that? She says, I used to date him before I met you. So he said, imagine that. If you would have married him, you would have been the wife of a construction worker working on a ditch. She says, no. If I would have married him, he would have been the mayor. So that's what he's saying here. That's what the Yoznayim LaTorah is saying here. Avraham Avinu gave credit to his mother in this case. Zachar et hachinuch shekibla Sarah bebeit Terach et kocha. He remembered in paying tribute to Sarah her awful chinuch that she overcame, the awful education in the house of Terach. Ki az ligbor et Terach v'chinucho, va'af she Terach v'akeh lefnei she'beshanim. He came to eulogize her from the funeral of Terach. So it doesn't mean chronologically. It means ideologically. This is what motivated. And he came from Har HaMoriah. He didn't come directly from Har HaMoriah chronologically. He came from Beersheba. But those two ideas, the synthesis of those two ideas, they were his hesped of Sarah, the greatness of Sarah, her nobility of character in spite of where she came from, originally where she came from. So that's a beautiful idea. The number three, also from the Yoznayim LaTorah. Now many Mefarshim say this idea. It says, Lispod l'Sarah v'livkosa. He came to eulogize her and to cry for her. Right? Chazal Amru, the rabbis teach, Gimel lebechi v'zayin lehesped. The first 3 days of Shiva are for crying. Because if you think about it psychologically, first comes the crying, mm-hmm. right? Then you eventually, slowly, you collect your thoughts and you can be maspid, you can eulogize, you're a little bit clearer. You're a little bit clearer. It's a natural thing. It's a gemara moikotin, it's a fact of life, right? And it's the halacha, right? The first 3 days of Shiva are different in halacha than the last days. Coming, one shouldn't come right away at Shiva and so on. Okay. V'kan hikdim ha'esped lebechi. And here it says that he came and he eulogized her and then he cried? What's going on? Kein mora ha'kaf k'tana shebet livchota. If you look in a chumash, you'll see in the chumash that the kaf in livchosa is a small kaf z'ira. Shelo bacha elamat, and he only cried a little bit. Lefi divrei Baal HaTorah, one of the commentaries. How do we explain this? So here's what he says. Hine, habechi mitparetz etzel krovei hamet, opi rov, b'shloshi yamim arishonim. Clearly, he says, crying is a function of the intimate relatives, the close relatives of the nifter, right? Crying will be the first thing that the immediate relatives do. Kedavar tivi, he says, it's natural. Merov hitrakshut, because of their strong emotions and ties. Afilu below cheshbon migodol ha'aved avda. Even not thinking about the greatness of the loss. This is without any thinking that what a loss we have. Just the crying itself, the tears pour out without any thought. Va'hesped, but the eulogy, hu iyun v'cheshbon migodol ha'hesped. But hesped already, the eulogy is from already where I have my... I have a little bit more yishuv hadat. I can think a little bit. I think about the greatness of the person. It's less emotion. It's a mixture now of emotion and intellect. The crying is pure emotion, but the hesped is now a mingling, a blending of emotion and intellect. Habomi mitat adam. Someone comes, someone dies. Shehevi toelet l'mishpacha u'l'tzibur. So this, he's saying that the hesped is you know, for the nifter, it's also for the people. It gives us something to cherish. U'kishemeta Sara, when Sara died. Shehaita gedola me'avram avinu b'nevuah. She was a bigger prophet than Avram Avinu. Rashi tells us that. That her prophecy, her power of prophecy was bigger than the power of Avram's prophecy. That's why she won the day. Avram didn't want to throw Yishmael out. We're going to see something. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes.
Hashem said to Abraham,
right. Whatever your wife tells you, you have to do. Right? right? So that's not one of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah, but it's the 614th mitzvah in the Torah. Whatever your wife tells you to do, you do, right? And so Rashi comments there from Chazal that she had a higher power of nevuah than Avraham Avinu. So here he's being maspil. V'shaita ma'achel du mashket kol ha'ovrim v'shavim. Achnasat orchim halo tlui be'ikar ba'ker da'bayim. All the famous achnasas orchim that Avraham did, who really did it, right? Sarah, right? V'shahayita ma'lamedet to'im bina. And people who came by, she would teach them monotheism. She'd teach them about God and character, right? U'mikarevet otam la'vodat Hashem. And she brought people close to Avodas Hashem. She was dismissive. She wasn't afraid of the kings who tried to imprison her. This was the hesped, the greatness. Her loss, the loss of Sora, was not just my personal loss of Ramavinu. The loss of Sora was a loss to Klal Yisrael, a loss to the entire world. The entire world lost their, as we spoke before, Sarah, their leader, their princess. Gadol kol kach was so great. Ad shehikdim Avraham Avinu lachshov cheshbono shel olam lecheshbono apratina. This, by the way, also points out the greatness of Avraham Avinu. He somehow managed to put his own personal, emotional, distraught nature on the back burner and put on the front burner Sora Imenu, the loss of Sora Imenu to the entire world. The hesped had to come first. My personal bechi is going to have to wait. Ritzono lomar hikdim hesped lebechi. So he put the eulogy before the crying. He put the intellectual, emotional blending before the pure emotional, personal loss. Hadimaot al tsarato hapratit, the tears for his personal loss, nechneku bigrono, were stuck in his craw. V'nitbatlu b'dimaot habaot mirov hatzar alavedat haklal. And he put that in the background. What a tremendous gvura, strength of Avraham Avinu. But that's the pshat in the pasuk, that Avraham came lispod l'sara v'lichosa. First the eulogy, and then the crying. Right? Showed the greatness of Avraham Avinu too. Okay, let's move on. This is from Rav Schwab, number 4. And then I want to put an addendum on this. Number 5 is a gorgeous medrash, which I think you're going to really get something from. It's one of my favorite passages in the medrash. Okay? So first of all, Vayikbru oto Yitzchak v'Yishmael banav al ma'arat ha'machpelah. So Yitzchak and Yishmael came, Avram dies, and they came to bury him. And they buried him in Maros HaMachpelah. But what's interesting is, it says Yitzchak first, that Yishmael was older, but Yishmael gave Yitzchak the covet of going first. And Rashi comments, Mikan she'asa Yishmael tshuva. From here we see that Yishmael did tshuva. V'holich et Yitzchak lefanav, he allowed Yitzchak to go in front of him. V'hi seva tova shenemra ba'Avraham. This is the good old age that Avraham Avinu enjoyed in later life, that he saw Yishmael come back and did tshuva. V'tzarach bir, we have to understand this. Lama lanu lavi raya mikan b'sof yamav shel Avraham sh'asa Yishmael tshuva. So Rav Schwab is asking, what do you have to bring a proof from the end of Avraham's life that he did tshuva? He did tshuva much earlier. Hari harbeis man lifnei zeh, yesh lanu l'lmod sh'asa tshuva, he did tshuva, shebishat ha'akedah, by the Akedah, he was 38 years before the death of Avraham, he writes, by Yikach et Shneina Aravito, where Yishmael was already there, he already accompanied him to the Akedah. Upirshu Chazal, this is number 4 on the sheet. Upirshu Chazal, he quotes the Targum Yonatan, Rashi brings this, Sheshneina Arav Hayu Yishmael Veliezer. And Yishmael was present. Hare Sha'az Kfar Chazar Yishmael Bevet Avraham, Val Korcha Shekvar Asa Tshuva did Tshuva. Vim Kein Lami Yesh Lanu Tzorach Lochiach Kan Od Hapam Sha'asa Yishmael Tshuva. So what do you have to mention it now? The end of his life. So I want to suggest, he says, Yesh Lomar Shehaya Mokom Lachshosh, one could suspect, Shema Shenahag Yishmael Kshura, Acha Shechazar Levet Avraham Hayarak Lichvodo Shel Aviv. And maybe he just did it, you know, to honor his father. In his father's presence, you know, he'll come home, he'll keep Shabbos. But, you know, when he's away from home, I don't know. But as soon as his father's going to die, you know, he's going to pack it in. He's not interested. That's why Chazal bring a proof that even after his father died, especially after his father died, and this shows that he really meant his tshuva. He really did tshuva, right? Ve'ela toldot Yishmael ben Avraham, Rabbi Chama bar Ukva, Rabbanan havayasinu miskashkin, ma ro hakosav liyachis toldosav shal Rosha. Right, it gives it why. And there's another fact. At the end of the parsha, you see that the years of Yishmael are mentioned. It's a covet to state the chronology of Yishmael. Yesh lomar shebishah sheholi banav adayin hayarosh v'achakach azav, etc., etc. Okay, one more paragraph here, and then I want to get to this medrash, because this medrash is something special. V'yoter nireh lomar, one more thing I want to say. Shari ha-hochacha mikan, the proof from here, she'asa tshuva, that he did tshuva, he mimash ha-yachol Yishmael alechet lifnei Yitzchak b'shat kfurat Avraham. This is the Rashi. He could have gone before Yitzchak by the burial. Why did he come ahead of him? Shari ha-yagadol mimenu b'shanim, he was older. V'im kol zeh, that notwithstanding, machmat anvasnusa, because of his humility, Yishmael developed humility. Amar lo le-Yitzchak she'elech l'fanav, told Yitzchak, no, you go, you speak, you go. Shehu yoter royal mimenu. He, Yitzchak, is much more fitting than I am. V'gam yirbek kavod aviv al yidei zeh. It'll be more covered for Avraham, for our father. V'zehu asiman ha-muvhak shel habal tshuva ha-miti. Now he says something which we can even sense contempt. This is the siman muvhak of the true bal tshuva. This is the sign of the true bal tshuva. Aval im noheg begaiva v'redifat ha-kavod. But if his humility is the sign of the true person who returns to Derech Hashem. But if he's arrogant, right, and full of himself, Anu Shalom Asa Tshuva Shlema, then he's not about tshuva, because arrogance is the worst criminal personal offense. Ulechem Mikanu Ikar Haraya Shasa Yishmael Tshuva Shlema. This is the proof. But now I want to ask you a question, and that's where the medrash comes. What motivated Yishmael to do tshuva? We saw what kind of a rushing he was. What motivated Yishmael to do tshuva? What inspired him? What kept him or brought him back? So listen to this medrash in number 5. This medrash is in the Yalkut Shimoni. It's in a number of places in the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. It's in a number of our medrashic sources. Okay. Here, Shalach Yishmael v'lokach lo isha. So Yishmael is living somewhere, who knows where. He's living in the sticks. And he goes and gets a wife. Me'arvos Moab, from Moab. Ve'isa Shma, her name was Isa. Lachar shalosh shanim, halach Avraham li rot et Yishmael beno. After 3 years, Avraham wants to go see how his son is doing. It's not, you know, it's amazing, amazing medrash, right? Ve'nishba l'sara, and he promises to Sarah, Shelo yered me'al ha-gamal b'mkom Yishmael shruishan. He promised it's going to be a drive-by sighting. I'm not even going to get off the camel. Please let me go. Because he asked her permission, because remember, she said, throw him out. He's no good. He's going to. So he says, please let me go. I promise you, I won't. It'll be a drive-by sighting. I won't even get off the camel. V'higil sham b'chatzi ayom, he got there at high noon. U'motza sham es ishto shel Yishmael, he found his wife. Amarle, he said to her, Heichan hu Yishmael, where's Yishmael? Amrlo, she said to him, Halach hu ve'imo, right, with him and his mother, Lahavi peirot utmarim min hamidbar. They went shopping, right? They went to the shuk. They went to Machne, whatever, in Arvot Moab, to get some fruit and etc. Amrlo, he said to her, Tani li me'at mayim v'lechem umatami. Give me a little bread and water for the road. Because I'm tired from the drive. Amrlo, she said to him, Ein lechem ve'ein mayim. We don't got no water. We don't got no bread. Amrlo, he said to her, do me a favor. Kishayavo Yishmael, when Yishmael comes home, Higidi lo et hadvarim ha'elu. You know, tell him what transpired here. Va'amri lo, and tell him, shebo zakein echad me'eretz kenan lirotcha. Tell him that an old man with a long beard came on his camel from Canaan to see him. Va'amar shesaf habayit eina tova, and tell him that the roof of his doorway is not so good, right? Kishabo, referring to his wife, referring to what's going on there, right? Kishabo Yishmael comes home. He gidelo ishto et hadavar hazeh. She tells him what happened. What's his reaction? Shilcha. He divorces her, right? But you know, the Rambam tells us before the Torah, the nations of the world, that was divorce. There was no ceremony. You didn't have to go to court. You didn't have to hire a lawyer. That was it. You just go your separate way. V'shilcha. Now, okay, here's the next story continues. Isn't this amazing, Medrash? Gets better. V'shilcha imo v'lochalo isha mibeit aviha. Now his mother says, you know, I got to find somebody from my family. You know, maybe we've got to do a little better here, Hagar says. Ushma Fatuma. Fatuma, Fatima, in different Midrashim. That's the name, a very common name, Arab name, Fatima, right? Her name was Fatima, or Fatoma. Od la'achar shalosh shanim. 3 years later, Halach Avram wrote that Yishmael beno, v'nishba l'sara b'pam rishona, she'enu yored min ha'gamal v'mokam she'yishmael shuruisham. Nochamol, 3 years later, again, Bengsech, Avram Avinu wants to see Yishmael. And again he asks Sarah permission. And he promises her it's only going to be a drive-by. I'm not going to get out of my car. I'm just going to knock on the door. V'higil, and she lets him go. V'higil isham b'chatzi ayom, and he gets there at high noon. U'matzah sham ishto shal Yishmael, and he finds his wife there. Amar lo, he says to her, heichan hu Yishmael. Where's Yishmael? Amar lo, she says to him, halach hu v'imo lirot et hagmalim b'midbar. Went to buy a new car, right? He went to the camel market with his mother to get a camel. Amar lo, he said to her, Tani, why the first one was food, the second was a camel, I don't know what shot that is, but anyway, it doesn't matter now. Amar lo, he said to her, Tani li me'at lechem u'me'at mayim. Give me a little bread and a little water. Ki ayefa nafshi miderech ha'mibar. Because I'm tired from the long desert journey. Hotsia v'notna lo. She brought out, sof. She brought out food and gave him. Amram stood up, v'haya mitpalel lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu al pino. And he said a prayer to God on behalf of his son Yitzchak. V'nitmalei beito shel Yishmael mikol tov mimin habrachot. That the house of Yishmael should be full of brachas. U'kishabo Yishmael, when Yishmael came, he gidelo ishto es hadavar hazeh. He told her what happened. She told him what happened. V'yada Yishmael, and Yishmael realized and knew, v'yada is with a certainty. She'ad achshav rachme aviv alah, that my father always loved me. Ad achshav, he never stopped having rachmanus mishenemar, kerachem av albanim. Never give up. The Rabbeinu Shem doesn't give up on us. Avraham Avinu didn't give up on Yishmael. And there's a tremendous lesson here. Never give up. So that's why he came to the funeral. Here you have at the funeral. Imagine the sight. You know, you hear stories of the outcast son. And there's a funeral. The father dies. And for 30 years, one son has nothing to do with the family for whatever reason. And he lives, no one knows where he is, what he is. And the paper, it says there's a funeral. And all of a sudden, the funeral is packed into the shul, and a motorcycle pulls up outside the shul. The guy in a black leather jacket, sunglasses, comes and sits in the back row. Everyone turns around, who's that? Who's that? Oh, you know, that's Izzy, you know, the son who ran away from everything, right? Came back. This is what happened here. Why did he come back? So, Avraham Avinu never, he knew that Avraham Avinu, a great lesson for us. Okay? One more idea here. And this is from the second half of the Parsha. Remember, we said there are two themes here. The second theme is the the buying of the finding of a shidduch for Yitzchak, and Eliezer, Eved Avram, the tzaddik, is going to find a shidduch for, and he finds Rivka, and he, all these signs that happen. And there's a whole question, is he relying on magic, right? If this happens, if that happens, right? But there's a difference. You're not allowed to rely on magic, right? You can't flip a coin to determine whether, you know, I should do, this girl is the right girl or not. You know, you can't flip a coin. That's magic. That's nichush. It's awesome to do that. But what he did deal with, in a certain sense, he dealt with magic, right? He said, if she comes to the well and waters the camels and gives me water for my camels, then this is the right person. But there's a subtle difference here, right? There's magic that has no basis in reality, right? That's also. But something that could happen, that's logical, there's nothing wrong with that, you know? I'll go to Netanya to the sea swimming. If I flip the coin and it's heads and not tails, that's no good. But if it's a cloudy, if it's a sunny day tomorrow, if I read in the paper that it's a sunny day tomorrow, I'll go. That's okay. Something that naturally can happen, nothing wrong with it. That's what he did. But here's the point I want to make. There was an underlying theme here. Eliezer had a daughter, and he really wanted his daughter to marry Avraham. He was hoping against hope that he wouldn't find a shidduch for Yitzchak with over there. So here's the pasuk. Va'omer al Adoni. So when he's retelling the story to Lavan and Betuel, when he's telling the story over to them, he says, Va'omer al Adoni. I told my master, Ulai lo telecha yishachrai. Maybe the girl won't come with me. Now he's repeating something he said to Avraham. What happens if the girl doesn't come with me? But the second time he says it over, there's a vav missing in the word ulai. Vayovomer al Adoni, it says a lie, you know? So his subconscious now is working, right? Rashi explains, a lie k'tiv, but hayata lo le Eliezer. Eliezer had a daughter. Vahayim mechazel imtso ayala, she omar lo Avraham lifnos elav la'asiyopito. He was trying to find a way that Avram will agree to take his daughter instead. Amar le Avram b'ni baruch v'ata arur v'ein arur mitavek b'boruch. I can't make a shidduch with you, Eliezer. Your people are cursed. You're a tzaddik, but I can't make a shidduch with you. Now, here's the kotzker on this. This is a powerful statement. Why did he say ulai by Avram? There was no, he was clear. When he was given his instructions, it said ulai. But in the subconscious, now, later on, afterwards, Yishmael realizes that he had this idea in mind, right? What's pshat? V'amai lo k'tiv elai below vav gam mikodem. Why at the beginning doesn't it say ulai without a vav? Be'et shediber Eliezer im Avraham atzmo, when he spoke to Avraham. L'ramez lanu zot, to teach us the following idea, Kotzker says. V'himtin hakatuv beremez. There's a hint here. Ad hasipur shesiper Eliezer et hadvarim lebutuel. And this was only in his subconscious. He didn't realize it until he spoke. It only came out to him when he spoke to Betuel. El hadam be'et ha'hub mishuka b'svach ha'negia eno margish klal minegiato. Person, when he's involved, he doesn't feel his negias, his personal involvement. V'yid melo dvaro emet v'tamim v'rak b'tseito mimenu margish ki ha'nogeb. Only afterwards he realized, you know, I was no gebet. Here's what he's saying. If you would have asked Eliezer at the time Avram is giving him his instructions, you know, I know what's on your mind. You want your daughter. Chas v'shalom. Listen, I'm getting instructions from Avram Avinu now. Ulai, maybe she won't come back. He's not thinking about that now. He's totally immersed in what Avram wants him to do. But afterwards, after it's over, when he sees that it's coming to fruition, right? So what the Kotzker is saying is that negia, personal interest, self-interest, is a dangerous thing. Mm-hmm. It's a dangerous thing when you loosen up your intellectual capacity. You know, if you're starving, you know, you're more likely to be making on what you're going to eat. You're somewhere traveling, you can't find. Well, you look at the ingredients. There's no extra, but the ingredients are okay. You know, right? You're more, you know, easily, but you can control yourself, right? But when you're subconscious, it's more dangerous in your subconscious to be controlled by Nicodemus. That's more dangerous. And that's when he realized it. He realized it at the end. What am I doing? You know? What am I doing? I can't do this. That's why it's mentioned here. It's a great psychological lesson why the Vav is not mentioned at the beginning. He had more clarity then, and he had less clarity at the end, and he realized it at the end of the story. Okay.